Howdy, folks. I'm Chet Garner, and welcome to the first ever episode of the Day Tripper Podcast. Today, we're here in the studio, and we're going to be talking about how did we get here? H-E-A-R. Get it? Here.
Fantastic. Way to go. It's like... It's our first joke, and it's a visual joke for radio. Real good.
Yeah. We're still figuring out how this radio thing works. But we're basically going to be talking about today how an attorney, a musician, and a photographer ended up making a podcast about Texas. So I got Richie Lozano to my right.
That's me.
And Todd White to my left.
That would be me.
So let's roll, boys. Here we go. All right, well, first off, I want to thank our sponsor for this podcast, the Highland Lakes of Burnett County. It's one of my favorite... Lake sound effect and a kazoo. Wow.
It's supposed to be a duck.
I don't think that works. They're not exactly known for their ducks out there either. They have them. But anyway, Highland Lakes is one of my favorite places in Texas, right in the heart of the hill country. Amazing things to do and places to stay for extended day trip adventures. They've got cabins on the lakes or back in the hills, whether it's a family, friends, or just a romantic getaway. Why not make it more than a day trip? Book your stay, your cabin, your B&B, your lodge. All of that information is there at thehighlandlakes.org, thehighlandlakes.org. But now, moving on to what we're here to talk about today, what we're here, H-E-A-R. You guys get it? I'm going to run that into the ground.
That's going to get old really fast.
Maybe the most clever thing I've ever written right there. But, you know, we make a TV show, and we were always kicking around ideas. All right, what else can we do? Because we only make a limited number of shows a year, 10 to 13. And we had this idea, let's make a podcast. Whether that was a terrible idea or a genius idea, only time will tell.
I think it's going to be like a bit of both, I think. Terrible and genius.
This is going to be a blast, but rather than us just sort of sit around and think up what you guys wanted to hear about, we actually asked you, got your feedback on Facebook, Twitter, email list, and a lot of y'all had some really great ideas, you know, whether they're better for TV or podcasts. Well, Todd, what was some of the feedback you were hearing?
So I tell you, one of the things we got feedback on was people wanted to go visit historic cemeteries. So I went out there with a microphone thinking this might actually have some legs on it, and, you know, I had a problem. Not a lot going on out there. I tried to get a few folks to talk to me, and it just got a little odd. I don't know. It just didn't work.
Just Is that a zombie donkey? That sounds like a zombie donkey.
Anyway.
You could have done like a real good like Vincent Price kind of like, and yes.
We've done Vincent Price in our spooky episode.
And the other really common thing people wanted us to do is imagine the radio gold of eating barbecue on a podcast.
That's got to be the crunchiest barbecue I've ever
heard. He got a bone there. You might want to throw that out.
He's going to choke on that.
Yeah.
It's everybody's favorite burnt, moist part of the brisket.
Maybe, oh, that's right. Yeah, maybe real crunchy burnt ends.
So not the best suggestions on how to do...
No. There's quite a few of them really, really good. And we can definitely... We're gonna touch on those as we move forward with our next episode if we're not fired by then.
But people are... the only people to fire us is ourselves, which is the scary part. So
we're going to keep on doing it.
We're going to keep doing this. But we really did. We got some awesome feedback from the fans. Thank you guys, everyone that submitted ideas. Some of it, maybe a little more fit for what we normally do with the TV show, and we'll certainly cycle that into what we do. Not that great on podcast. You definitely don't want to hear Richie and Todd and I sit and munch on brisket for 30 minutes. It would get real weird real fast.
Yeah.
Real fast.
Kind of creepy.
So, but what we did hear about from you guys a lot was, how did you guys get started? And, you know, that's a question that I get all the time, and I'm sure Richie does and Todd does as well. You know, this show is so unique, and the Day Tripper sort of has hit a vein. People love talking about Texas. People love tripping Texas. You know, how did you get into this? So that's kind of what we're talking about today. Overall, the vision of the podcast, I think, is just no holds barred. Every corner of Texas could be touched. We're going to do shows about barbecue, swimming holes, and all the limits of the Day Tripper, where we say we're going to be in this one town all day and show you everything there is to do in this one place. Well, with the podcast, we don't have to do that. We can talk about the whole state as a whole, and the top beaches, top swimming
holes.
Yeah,
top we can take on entire topics like, you know, really the full spectrum of barbecue and how it changes region to region.
Yeah.
And how the swimming hole changes, because, yeah, you're right, we're kind of not stuck, but we're so focused on the show.
Well, that's the point of the show. It's get in your car, go to this town, and there's so much to do and eat there. Rather than sort of an academic study of barbecue as it, you know, functions from geographic regions. Not that this is going to be that academic. Just let me throw that out there. This will not be. But.
And we also have folks that ask us how we make the show and the whole production side of it as well. So we can talk a little bit about the gear we use and kind of geek out for a little bit.
Yeah.
All the fun behind-the-scenes stuff that really get...
The stories we can tell.
The
nerds and everything on just how we do it and what really happened then. Well, here we'll tell you on this podcast. We'll tell you how many takes it took to get that right.
The hardest thing to cut down sometimes is the outtakes because,
too many.
There are way too many.
Too many.
We certainly haven't done things the easy way from the beginning, but we've done things the day tripper way, whatever that means. And the podcast is going to be very much the same. We're here for you guys. We've set up podcast@thedaytripper.com. If y'all have things y'all want to hear us talk about, ideas, interviews that we could do, please send in your suggestions. And of course, thedaytripper.com is the one-stop shop for all things Day Tripper. We've got all of our past episodes up there, day trip guides that you can take on the road with you, of course, the Day Tripper General Store, where you can support us with t-shirts and coffee mugs and journals and all kind of different stuff like that.
And you can catch all our behind-the-scenes stuff, the journal entries that we have, and, of course, pictures from us on the road.
Yeah.
And maps where you can really get just a little bit deeper into the show and each episode one by one, which one's your favorite.
Yeah.
And find out more about that there. And then you can drill us for more questions when you submit your questions to podcasts@thedaytripper.com.
There you go. So let's jump in and talk a little bit about how did we get here. Well, I'll just talk a little bit about my personal experience and you guys can talk about it, but
personal experience.
Yeah. So enough about me. What do you guys think about me? Let's start.
That should be the title of this podcast. Yeah. Enough about me. What do you think about
What do you think about me?
Wow.
No, but I'm a native Texan, born and raised, as you guys are too. And, there was just a passion, I guess a legacy of Texas passed down to me from my grandparents and then my parents. We moved away from sort of the pod of my grandparents, cousins, you know, aunts, uncles, all the way to southeast Texas to a little town called Port Neches, Texas, if anybody's heard of it. In the Golden Triangle, black gold down there, that's all the gold you'll find, but it's oil country. And we would spend every holiday, you name it, Easter, Christmas, Thanksgiving, spring break, Columbus Day.
Arbor Day.
Sometimes Arbor Day. Always, we're big arborists in our family. Love celebrating Arbor Day. Groundhog Day. But any excuse, basically, to throw the family in the suburban and haul all the way up to Stephenville was, we were doing it. And back in those days, we didn't care that much about child safety, I don't think. So what we did is rip out the back seat. Well, at least my parents. I think it was the society. Yay, kids!
This is only the mid-80s that you're traveling, or even into the 90s. So.
Yeah. But, I mean, really not that long ago, safety. Really. But rip out the back seat, you know, throw in the luggage, and then put a mattress on top
of
it.
We did that.
You
know,
do that?
We did that. In the suburban, yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, we did that, yeah.
I completely missed out.
Oh, no.
Come on, Todd.
I mean, I would spend, I've got three siblings, and then my parents, we're a family of six. We would literally spend a seven-hour drive, never buckle into a seatbelt, wrestling each other, pulling my sister's hair, reading books, you know, just flopping around like
spilling
kids
food.
Do. Yeah. Spilling food, oh yeah. You get a Capri Sun up there in the mattress, and your brother punches it, and it goes all over everything. Oh, yeah. But, you know, it never failed that as we were on one of these road trips, about 7 hours where my extended family lived in Stephenville, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, my dad would hit the brakes, and we would go from the back seat to the front seat as he whipped around to haul us out into the middle of the heat to look at what I called as a kid a tombstone of death. You know what I'm talking about? I'm not talking about cemeteries. These were historical markers, man.
Yeah.
And he would explain to me why this fence post was the most important fence post ever in Texas history, or why this stinking pile of rocks used to be a cotton gin. You can imagine it, Chet. There was a creek here, and at one point, a buffalo crossed it. Like, Dad, this is a terrible story.
Terrible and now it's story. Called Buffalo Crossing, Texas. That's why.
Yeah, basically. You know, those things don't do themselves any favors. They're written on black and silver steel or whatever it is. And I mean, for a kid, there's just nothing more boring than a tombstone of death. But, you know, growing up, those made an impression on me. I'm a Boy Scout, too, so we did a lot of traveling with the Scouts.
Eagle Scout. This is true.
Tis true.
I want to make sure we're honest with the audience here.
So we would travel Texas a lot. And then by the time I got to college, I had sort of, in my mind, been there, done that with Texas. Not to say I was over Texas, but I wasn't enthusiastic about traveling it. I feel like I had already seen most of it. And so I did all those things you're supposed to do in your life, you know, or else it doesn't have meaning, like see the Mona Lisa, tour Notre Dame, you know, go to all these famous places.
World travel.
Yeah,
it really became
more about traveling outside of Texas than ever traveling Texas, seeing all these exotic places all over the world. And at the end of the day, sometime in there, I had to get a real job, and so all that traveling just went done. Well, I majored in film as an undergrad. Then I did what all film majors do. I went to law school. Yeah, you know.
Common tale.
Typical path progression. Mm-hmm. And then you know, travel a lot in law school. Again, Taiwan, Thailand, Vietnam, all multiple backpack trips in Europe. And then the real world hit, and the table of life turned. And before I was in a position where I had all this time but no money, but that didn't stop me from traveling. We would just stay in hostels and all that. You know, I slept on rocks. Sometimes, like, locked out of train stations because we got there too late and the station was locked. You know, we were literally on a shoestring budget. But then the worst way was that life could spend, that table could spend, is against you, and that's where you have all this money but no time, right? I mean, that's even worse, truthfully.
Chet. First world problems. That's the worst.
Yeah, no, but...
All this
but
money.
But for a no traveler...
Time. Oh, okay.
Well, what good is money if you can't
right.
enjoy
if
it
you
or
have the
share
time
it with
to travel,
people?
You've done it poor, and you've done it with a little bit of money, but you really, it's the time. The time is really what you need to be a traveler.
Time is infinitely more valuable than... money. I mean, yeah, infinitely more valuable. And for someone with a travel bug who's working an office job that's requiring 50, 60, whatever hours a week with no sign of life at the end of the tunnel, it's pretty debilitating. And so at that point, I didn't have the time for these big, giant gallivants all over the world. I had to do the only thing I knew how that I had the time to do, which was start exploring my own backyard again. And so I went to places like Enchanted Rock, which I hadn't been to since I was a kid, spent some time with my wife in Fredericksburg or Lost Maple State Park or, you know, just all these different little hidden places that are all over Texas. And then I would come back to the law firm and try to talk to them about it. And, man, you would have thought I was talking about Mars or something, you know, like this. They had no clue about all the stuff that was in their own backyard. But if you wanted to talk about the Caribbean or Spain or something like that, they could talk your ear off.
Or cruise, yeah.
Yeah, cruise, a big fancy pants cruise. You know, you want to talk about Texas wine with them. They didn't want to talk Texas wine. You want to talk about
France
Bordeaux wine. Or whatever, yes. You know, yeah, France wine.
California
they,
wine.
They loved
yeah.
it. They could talk your ear off. And at that point, I realized there were all these people who wanted adventure, but there was very little information out there that showed them how close adventure really was. They were sort of watching these national or international travel shows that said the coolest things you can do on the planet are way overseas.
Rome.
Brazil.
The pyramids.
Rome. The pyramids. Yeah all this
Fiji.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Rather than teaching people that the stuff that is just that cool is right here and it's within an hour of their backyard. And, you know, when I compare the things I've done here in Texas with the things I've done overseas, there's almost no comparison. I like the stuff I've done here in Texas better. I really do. And it didn't take, you know, a $2,000 plane ticket, and it didn't take time off of work to go do. It just took a little bit of let's get in my car and go-ness.
Right. A little planning, a little gas in the tank.
Just a little bit. Yeah. Just a little bit. And so, you know, it was at that point where I said, hey, let's I had just spent 3 years in Waco as a at Baylor. And I knew the hidden charm of Waco, but you ask an
the
Austin,
only guy who
the
knew
only
the
guy
hidden
that
charm
was me.
Waco.
But you ask an Austinite about Waco, and what is it to them? It's a pit stop, man. That's all they do. They stop there, they get a taco, and they pee on their way to
break.
Dallas. That's
yeah,
it.
They're out.
Or they blaze through there on the way to West to get to. The
oh yeah, maybe they're on a mission for kolaches or something like that. Mm-hmm. But not much more. And so I thought, look, we're gonna make a show about all the hidden gems that are right here in their own backyard. that they didn't know were there. And we're going to start with Waco. Because if we can convince Austinites that they can go to Waco and have fun, we can convince them that they can go anywhere and have fun.
Oh, the challenge.
Yeah, exactly. I wanted to start with the hardest task possible.
And, but you knew how to make a TV show, or you knew how to put a video together.
Sure.
From school.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I knew the basics of making a TV show. I'd edited short films and things like that. And I thought, this would be really, what better opportunity to have a really cool travel show that's not just about couch potato entertainment, but it's about the things I can do on a weekend, any given day trip, right down the road from me. And so I had a good friend, Nate Locklear, from UT undergrad, who happened to still be in the film world teaching at ACC. And I said, hey, man, let's make a travel show. And it's going to be on PBS because PBS is an awesome market for local productions, and they can actually fill their time with things that are made independently or locally versus, you know, the big network television, which is going to go nationwide. And we really wanted to make a regional show, so it was all about things you can do from Austin. Heck, in that time it was called the Austin Day Tripper. And so called up Nate. I said, hey, man, I can't pay you anything. Let's just get in the car, go to Waco. We need someone to run sound. And that's when he said, hey, I know somebody. And who was that somebody?
Todd. No, it was me.
That was me.
Mm-hmm. And so I went. No, it's more to it than that. No, I had to be convinced of Chet's pedigree at first.
Who is this
And I
Yahoo?
Said, I want to see papers. I want to see his bloodline. I want to know everything. I want to know current vaccination status. I want to know. I mean, you know, I can't just work for anybody. It was great fun to be there. I'd grown up in the Houston area and came to Austin in 1994. And so I thought I wanted to get into radio first. But we had done...
Dream fulfilled.
Right, exactly, right here, right now.
That's it. There you go.
But
bucket
then
list.
You realize how much radio people earn. And then the dream was busted. And then I thought I wanted to get into radio first. And you really kind of see how much those guys, what they do. And I was very much a visual person. So then that's how I got into the RTF program at ACC. And so I'd done the same things that Chet did as a kid growing up. You get in the back of the car, you put down sleeping bags and the mattress in the back of the Suburban. And we did trips, went to Florida, we went to Indiana, we went west a little bit. And it was the same stuff. Dad would pull over, but it was for junk. My parents were like antiquers.
Oh, no. The worst.
You know, so it was like, look at these flowers. Like, oh, man, you got to be kidding me. Let's go. Let's
more
go.
Rusted farm equipment in this guy's yard.
Yeah, my sisters hated it more than I did. You know, I could kind of get along with it and go out and play somewhere. But it was that same kind of passion. It's this, as a kid, you kind of hold on to this travel thing, and you knew Texas was this great place because Texas is great at promoting itself and keeping that, the dream of Texas alive within its own people. So there's this great magnetism to the outdoors and the culture and all that stuff. And so when I started to get into radio, television, and film, the opportunity to go explore some of that stuff and really be on the front lines. It's one thing to watch that show and go, I want to be there too. And we, you know, travel shows were just taking off huge at that time. It was Samantha Brown on Travel Channel, and Bourdain was really hitting his stride. And you thought, and everyone, just like everyone else, thought it would be cool to be out there with them. And I had the desire to be out there working there and not just seeing what they see and eating what they ate. I wanted to craft that story as well. And so when I got to meet Chet and the opportunity came to kind of help out on this thing, it just seemed like a natural fit. You're already excited about the things you're going to cover. It's not far from home. I've always wanted to not get paid for things that I love to do. kind of like whatever you can get. And so I knew how much fun it was to make those kind of stories and to craft those things with Nate. And then Chet had the same background. So it was an easy yes. It was an easy yes to kind of get out there. And our first shoot was just us and then Laura.
Laura, my wife, who's just an absolute saint. She was there as our really producer on the road.
And we just got dirty and made it up as we went for the pilot. But that was in...
Oh, it was dirty too. I threw in a bunch of wigs and like yeah. gym shorts and didn't explain to anyone what we were doing.
Yeah,
and
it was a strange brand of like, I guess we're going to shoot this guy being weird. Okay.
And, right. even to this day, we don't really know what Jet's going to do.
That's also true.
There's this magical script that's in the back pocket that he pulls out. And he's like, what is he doing? What is he doing?
And so that was...
Everyone's on the magical Day Tripper Mystery Tour.
That was 2007, though.
It was. Yeah.
That was a long time ago when we did that pilot. That was in July or something? I can't remember.
It was ridiculously sweaty because we drove around the circle in Waco. If y'all ever been on the circle, it's scary. But turn off the AC so that it doesn't show up on the audio equipment. So not only was it 110 outside, it was probably 120 in the car.
Windows up.
Windows up, audio down, and we're whipping circles around that thing. I'm so surprised it didn't become the vomit rocket.
Yeah,
man,
just looking for lunch to come back. Yeah. Yeah.
But we did that, and then, you know, we shot that one in one day, and we were only making a pilot, so I think the finished product is 12 minutes long, and it is now in the vault.
Which very few people have seen.
Yeah, very few people have seen. A handful of folks at KLRU who greenlit it, but other than that, not much.
Fools they were.
Yeah.
That needs to find its way out to YouTube.
That's going to be some kind of deep Easter egg.
Buried in the DVD somewhere. Mm-hmm. You have to click on the Sam Houston sideburn at frame 143 and you get it. But we shot it. It took us about 6 months to get it edited because, of course, I was working a full-time legal job. We were all working full-time jobs. And then came the part of submitting it to KLRU. And I think within a month, we had a green light, but it was kind of a, it was a bittersweet when it said, we'll air it, make as many as you can, and we can't pay for any of it. Like, great.
Great. We love it. Can we have it for free?
Yeah. And sure. So, which is, you know, but what they gave us that, you know, is just so valuable is an audience, you know, and once you have an audience,
absolutely,
you can go out and find people that want to partner with us, with you. And so we went out, and our very first sponsor was Live Oak Brewing. It was the first call. I was just cold calling everyone for about a year and a half at the law firm with my door closed. And the very first yes was Live Oak, and Chip, who owns it, was like, hey, this sounds kind of cool. Let's do it. I said, great. You know, hung up the phone. Thank you. You know, because they say, once it's sold, don't unsell it. And so, and then I hung up and I go, oh, crap, someone's giving money. We actually have to make a show now. You know, because before it was just a pipe dream, right? And so.
And then that great economy of 2008.
Oh, man.
And came your way rough. And really made it easy.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, housing
thank
market.
Thank you, mortgage lending habits. Oh, man. Yeah, certainly.
That put a big damper on trying to get companies to extend some cash and take a risk on something that was unknown.
Sure. Oh, big time. Big time. I mean, how do you sell someone advertising in a show that doesn't exist? It's hard.
When they're taking it in the shins everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Everywhere else. So, but you know, it was a labor of love. And in the beginning, I mean, what we scrapped together, everybody else would laugh at. They could say, well, we could make a 30-second commercial for that. And we set out to make five shows. Over, you know, five full 30-minute shows.
Mm-hmm.
But had a wonderful crew that all believed in what we were doing. And we knew as soon as we aired it that other people saw the passion and the vision. And from that moment on, within 6 months, we were on every station, really, every PBS station in Texas. And we had, they all said, we love this show, but we want you to make a Dallas Day Tripper. We love it. We want you to make a Houston Day Tripper. And we said, we're dying making five shows of the Austin Day Tripper. So we had dropped the Austin from it, and then it became really a celebration of not just day trips in Central Texas, but day trips all over Texas. And not everywhere is a day trip from everywhere. I mean, but it's about parachuting into a town for a day and celebrating all they have there. And you've got really one sunrise to sunset to do it. And what are you going to do? And that's how the Day Tripper got started. And it's just been an absolutely wild ride ever since with our fan base growing. You guys out there have just been so awesome sharing your day trips with us and telling us how much we've inspired you to go out and explore Texas, which then in turn inspires us. And it's this whole happy circle of inspiration. And we want to keep doing this as long as we possibly can and keep giving you guys more insight into Texas, and that's exactly why we're sitting here.
Mm-hmm. And I love going out to the Facebook page and seeing stuff that people post as far as their experience in the places that we've been and where we've gone and pictures they post and their stories. It's really cool to see that. And they come up with some great ideas for us to do as well. It's like, we never thought of that.
Yeah. Oh, man. I hear from all the time. I get some of my best ideas from just people. Because you ask the Chamber of Commerce or the Convention and Visitors Bureau, sometimes they're a little bit too much sticking to the script or the brochure, and they haven't gone out and explored every in and out of their city. I found out about the Valhalla missile silo, which we scuba dived in Abilene, a 1960s era nuclear missile silo that's full of groundwater about 120 feet deep. We went scuba diving in it, but I asked the CVB about that, and they didn't know anything about it at all. And I'd heard some rumors and some different things sort of trickling through. So, you know, our biggest resource really is our fans. I mean, without a doubt.
Yeah, I mean, there's tons of research that goes into each episode. And we hit the big, you know, the travel books give you the first layer. And then the people on the ground, the CVBs, give us a big boost into the next layer.
Yeah.
And then what really gets us to that fine grain, you know, reviews like, oh, who knows if that restaurant's any good? That kind of thing. It's the people on the ground. It's the other fans that tell us one-to-one and our friends that go, you know what? They've got tons of restaurants, but it's these two. And you go, okay, let's feature those.
So exactly.
Everyone helps us to get to those great, those super great ideas.
Yeah, there's a lot of really pretty restaurants sometimes that a town wants to promote for good reasons because they're nice and they're clean. But sometimes the best ones, man, with the best food is that little dumpy shack. Right, you know, behind that gas station. You find the mom and pops. It's the people who are passionate about food, and they don't necessarily have a budget to do any marketing or promotion because they're in the kitchen making the food, which is why you want to go there in the first place.
Right, they don't have time to bump their Facebook numbers.
No, not at all. They may have had a cousin who set up Facebook for them 3 years ago, and they haven't touched it since.
Right, right.
And so the only way to find those is you got to get boots on the ground, drive through the back alleys, and go and ask the people. And we spend a lot of time doing that. A lot of time doing that.
And the big satisfaction pays off when we'll feature a place in the show because it just makes sense for us and what we're doing and how we want to inspire people to go. And then they come, we hear from them again or visit them again, and they say, oh, man, business has really improved since you've been here. And, you know, the great story and those great people deserve a great, not an ending, but a great continuation and a boost in what they do. They need to be celebrated.
Yeah, they work so hard, and they don't have anybody that's willing to champion them for free, which is essentially what we do. No one ever pays any money to get on our show. We pick the places we think are the most worthy and the towns that we think have cool stories, and we get to tell the story we want, which is the amazing part of PBS. I don't. It's incredible how much creative license we have. I've submitted stuff of me wearing women's clothing dancing around, and they haven't ever questioned it.
And for YouTube, they've got rules about that.
Yeah.
For
PBS,
some reason,
no.
PBS is like, sure, why not? Yeah.
Man, there's been a lot of times you hit that submit button like, is this going to fly? I don't know about this.
And it's just us in the office, and if it works for us and how we like it and how it sounds and how it looks and the story that goes around, that's what ends up on air. And we're glad that we've got fans that think like us and that don't think like us and we can have a great conversation with. But for people to follow and keep watching and now listening. So it's a really fantastic journey.
Yep. It's really cool. It's just it's mind-blowing, really.
You know, and speaking of our fans and all, they've always have some great questions that they ask us. And we actually solicited for a few questions for the podcast for today.
Is this our mailbag section?
Mail call!
Questions from the back seat.
From the back seat.
Are we there yet?
When are we stopping to pee?
I'm tired.
Oh, no. The third one should be the best. All right. Anyway, we did. Yeah, we've gotten some incredible questions from some listeners out there. We don't have any listeners. This is our first one. Viewers, we'll call them.
Eventually,
we'll have listeners. But go ahead, Todd. Rattle off a question for us.
First of all, it was called email your 10 best friends and ask for feedback.
Anyway. Hey, man, gotta start somewhere.
Gotta start somewhere.
So Travis from Pflugerville asked the question, is what is your favorite day trip so far?
Ooh, good one. I actually get this a lot, and that is a tough question. Because by the time we've put blood, sweat, and tears into each one of these episodes, they feel like children. I mean, some people make a couple films, and those are what they stand on their entire life. I mean, we've made over 50 short films now. Uh-huh, yeah. You know, 30-minute episodes that we've got out there. And you put a lot of work into each one of those episodes. And from the scouting and the picking, I mean, each one kind of has a little special place in your heart.
And then the fun we had shooting it might have been a really simple – or not simple, but it might have been a very straightforward museum-type shoot that we did or something that's kind of routine for us. But as a crew, we had a great time in particular doing it because of an inside joke or just something dumb. You know, people go, why do you pick that place as your favorite? You go, well, because me personally, we had a bunch of fun that you didn't see on camera. You know, we were just being nuts and being goofy and doing all that kind of thing. So there's two sides of a coin for every episode. Like your favorite day trip is – what ended up on screen, and then it's also what we did out in the film when we shot it. Yeah, so
you've got this weird affection for all from both sides. It's weird. I mean, some of the ones that stick out in my head, I guess, are Galveston. That one was really fun to shoot. So that's way back there. I loved the Van Horn episode, climbing up to Guadalupe Peak, the tallest point in Texas.
We had that awesome blackout. That didn't make it to air. We're in the middle of doing a great interview in what was it called? A restaurant?
Chewy's. John Madden's favorite restaurant or whatever.
They're out there in Van Horn, and all of a sudden, just the whole town went black. Ooh. This is about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, so you still had sunlight.
Do we have that sound effect?
Ooh. and so that, you know, that didn't make it to air. We didn't have time to tell that story, but that was a great crew. We said, okay, well, I guess we're kind of done for the day. And we ended up at the hotel we were staying at with no AC.
Oh, man, that was a brutal.
And it was an old hotel, and we're just like, oh, man. That was a burner. Everything to not get in the rooms. We sit outside. We drink beer with all the other guests in the courtyard.
Everyone staying in the hotel was in the courtyard because you couldn't go inside. It was a sweat lodge.
Yeah, so we said, well, we got to wake up early, so we have to get some sleep. So we got into our rooms and prepared. I mean, we just, you know, sleep in your underwear, take a shower right before and stay wet. And then as soon as you kind of waft off to bed and the sweat starts coming, you're like, oh, it's going to be miserable. All of a sudden you heard it. And everything lit up. The fans turned on. The lights came on. AC came on. We were saved.
Thank you, Lord. This is amazing. Thank you.
But yeah, that's why Van Horn sticks out to us. We had a great time there, but it didn't make it to air. No one knows about it.
Because the power was out, we were sitting around talking with the owners of, it was El Capitan, that hotel.
That's right.
And they said, hey, y'all know we got secret tunnels underneath. And we're like, what? And so they said, come on. It would have taken flashlights anyway. So we got our flashlights, went down into the old speakeasy tunnels underneath the hotel.
That did make it to air.
Yeah.
We had no plan to shoot that at all.
Zero. Which is kind of fun. You know, there's so much serendipity that kind of goes into some of these shoots that you're like, wow.
Yeah, put yourself in a good place with the right good-thinking crew and some great equipment, and you can kind of take on any story that comes at you. That's right. Yeah. I forgot that.
Yeah.
We would have never done that if the lights hadn't gone out.
Day tripping keeps you on your toes, man. Keeps you on your toes. You know, as far as overall favorites, I mean, I always say, if you've never been to Enchanted Rock, you have to go to Enchanted Rock. That's just one of those awe-inspiring type of places that there's just no words for it. And you think, this is right here in Texas? I mean, this is amazing. So I always tell people, if you've never been to Enchanted Rock, go there. Whether that's my favorite, I don't know, but that's one of the bucket list places in Texas for sure.
And then follow those rules. That's in the Fredericksburg episode, right? Season one.
Which rules?
For the Enchanted Rock.
Rules for Enchanted Rock.
Water and a
don't
sack
wear
lunch.
Open-toed shoes, man. No, none of that. Bring a flashlight. Yeah, there is sort of a way to tackle Enchanted Rock that you got to be prepared for that beast.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Todd?
And then Todd, do you have a favorite?
You know, so there are two that I really enjoyed so far, and I've only been on the team for like a year.
Yeah.
But Arlington was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed Arlington. Good, You know, and I'm not a big sports fan, but just to go out on the Cowboy Field and to be at the stadium to watch a baseball game, I mean, it was just amazing. It was just really cool and things I never thought I would have done before.
We took on some big things.
That was awesome.
In that Arlington episode.
That was a huge, that was big stuff we took on for sure.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I totally agree.
And then the other one?
And I also loved Lufkin. I had a great time in Lufkin. It was just fun.
We still have a stack of Chico sticks in our office.
But just, you know, driving out that morning, we left at like 4 or 5 in the morning.
You drove that morning. That's
right. I drove. Richie's sleeping in the car, in the seat next to me. And it's just, you know, the sunrise coming up, the pines. It was just awesome. It was breathtaking. You know, it's just amazing to see and sit back and go, man, this is the state of Texas. It's different in every corner, and God made this, and it's just amazing.
Yeah,
to see
but
that.
sometimes it's the drive getting there to start making the show that puts an impact on you. Going west was incredible, both for El Paso, and then we went out there for Marfa when it was in the middle of February. It was really cold.
Same thing
for Amarillo.
You
know, it's one thing to kind of ride in the car with your parents and go, or to be on your phone, or to. Or you're just kind of stuck in a different place. But when you just look out the window and let the scenery, you know, make that impression on you, it's really great. Heading east from Central Texas in the morning, it was gorgeous. It was heavenly. It was strange. Yeah. It was really it made you stop and look. And so that's another thing that has a big impact on.
The drive out there. Joy is in the journey, man. And a lot of times it does. When you go to Marfa, and I remember that specifically. And you're driving through that big stretch where there's maybe a gas station every 60 miles, and that's all you've got. And the mountains start to the ground. It goes from sort of hill country to mountainous, and it goes from sort of green to brown with the desert. And it impacts you. It sets the tone for the whole thing, and you readjust all that you were thinking and say, oh, wow, we're in a different part of the country right now. Still Texas, but totally different.
Yeah, we've done that one. And then stuff that stuck out, Marfa, just, you know, we talk about the drive, but how it looked and the things we covered there, the art was, it had this bigger, we've done museums everywhere. We've done art museums in Fort Worth, art museums in Houston. We've done art museums everywhere. But the stuff they have in Marfa isn't exactly, it's not that groundbreakingly different from the rest, but the setting that it's in made a bigger impact on you. It was large. It was right in front of you. And that makes, you know, it's the personal impact, right? You, when you're picking favorites, it's the personal impact. We had so much fun in Galveston. We had so much fun in Fredericksburg. That was our first like out of towner. We actually stayed overnight.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, as a crew, which we hadn't done before. That was season one. Bluebell, we did the ice cream. You know, that's a childhood.
Oh man,
that was a childhood dream
come
true to go tour the factory and then do the tour that no one else gets to do. We got on the factory floor.
Yeah. A little extra for the viewers.
Picked up ice cream off of the line. And
that was,
you know,
talk
about those groundbreaking moments that we've done. And I think the action stuff, like you talked about the action stuff being super, super memorable.
Well, I mean, there's so much. I just went hang gliding out in Marble Falls. So, like, 2,000 feet above the air, suspended from this little rope, hugging a dude I just met, sort of as we're
with one doing little
nothing.
Aluminum pole
to
hang on to.
A little tiny aluminum pole, and you're essentially a human kite.
Right.
Like,
and you were saying
about memorable.
And, like, gliding was different. You did gliding in Marfa.
Yeah. And that, you know, you're still about the same altitude, but you're in this little cabin. And so you can't feel the wind on your face. You can't look down and have nothing between your eyeballs and the ground but air. And so, you know, it's a totally different feel. It was exhilarating, but in its own way, I think hang gliding was take that exhilaration and 10 times it because it is intense. But, like, that kind of stuff is wild. And then I've already mentioned scuba diving at the Valhalla Missile Silo.
Snorkeling
in South Padre. Yeah. I gravitate a lot toward that. But then, man, there's still times I catch myself daydreaming about places we've eaten.
Oh,
you know?
Sure, yeah.
Like those ribs at Opie's out in Spicewood. Oh, man.
Those were even the ones in Lufkin. Those were killer.
Oh, they were,
those were killer
Lufkin
ribs.
Lufkin barbecue ribs. Oh,
and then
that chicken sandwich in the orange episode. One of the best
really
things
like
I've
it?
Ever eaten.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Still.
I mean.
We had high-end food in Huntsville.
Oh, man.
At the Homestead.
That goes down one of my top five meals ever.
That was a
And
stuffed,
it was in Homestead. It was in Huntsville at Homestead.
A stuffed steak, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was like a big, giant tenderloin oozing with cheese. How could that not be delicious, man? Oh.
We've had and the crawfish in Beaumont.
Yeah.
Fresh crawfish in Beaumont. And then
we've done some
really great food.
And that, yeah. There's so much. And so when you ask, like, what's your favorite, it's an impossible question.
It's just an impossible
question.
So the next question I think would be equally difficult to answer. And this comes from Marcy out of Georgetown. And it's, what is the number one reason why you like Texas? And let's actually throw this to Richie first to give you time to think.
Why I love Texas?
What's the number one reason why you like Texas?
Everything I love is here. I mean, God, you know, it's like, why do you love your mom is the reason why you love Texas. I mean, it's yeah. so, it's everything you grow up to love. Like I said, you know, there's a great pride. There's a great pride about Texas from Texans. We take the good and the bad, you know, like Texas Monthly does, like the bum steers, you know, just the idiots of town. And yeah, there's plenty of people who will disagree with you in this state and plenty of people who do agree with you. And I think that the passion that we hold for our past and the future and just how we stick together as, you know, brothers and compadres and like everyone's family in Texas in this very bold kind of way. And so that, you know, and then everything that's great about,
I agree. It's like there's like so many layers. And I think that's what I love most about Texas is how deep it is, deep in the heart of Texas, you know, kind of like it, they're so diverse in every level. I mean, you've got the diversity of food, the diversity of people, the diversity of outdoors, the diversity of everything. I mean, and I love Texas for its richness across every level. And it's not just about that whole myth of Texas, like what people imagine, cowboys, Alamo, and oil. You know, it's not, yes, it's that, but it's so much more than that. And that's what I like. And that's what I think we've got stories to tell for the next 80 years with the Day Tripper, because there's so many stories
here. Yeah, but people know Texas. Texans know Texas, and people outside of Texas know Texas. But no one knows it all.
No.
I mean,
no.
Yeah.
It's, and we'll be doing this for 50 years, and we won't know it all.
Yeah, it's deeper than every cave you're ever going to climb into, and it's higher than every mountain, and it's wider than every lake, and it's taller than every tree, because there's always something cooler and better, because you know about it, then you're going to find, once you explore that and travel that like we do on the show, you're going to find the you know, colors that you never knew about exist in Texas.
And speaking of exploring Texas, we had one of our viewers write in and ask a question. And the comment, or the question was, is what is a cool, kid-friendly thing that you can do when you're making the drive from Fort Worth down to Port Aransas?
So that's a specific question. Ooh. We went from big, broad questions.
Yeah, I know.
It's very specific.
Down to this one. On a Tuesday at 5 o'clock.
I'll be eastbound on 281 between these exits.
Tell me now.
That's a long stretch.
Fort Worth to
Port A.
Fort Worth to Port A.
And there's about 20 ways you could drive that,
too. First
of all,
that's like a 7-8-hour drive. Yeah.
But, man, there's a ton to see. I guess they're going to come down 35 for most of it, and then maybe an Austin split off.
Because there's 1,000 ways to get to the water once you cross 10.
Yeah. And so, you know, I'm still a believer in, I'll say, Waco. You know, they're going
back to the beginning.
I'm going to go back to the beginning. It's podcast one. We're going season one, episode one.
Take one.
Because I'm not going to say there's, you know, you need to take an entire day and go do something that's going to take a whole day. You know, they're probably looking for roadside attractions. And like when you pass through Waco, every time I go through, I want one thing. And that is a fresh Dr. Pepper float from the Dr. Pepper Museum. Hit it. Yeah. Is that your Dr. Pepper stinger?
Dr. Pepper.
I'm a pepper. He's a pepper. There we go.
That's bad.
But, you know, you go to the place. Of course, Dr. Pepper was invented in Waco, for those that don't know it. And you can go to the Dr. Pepper Museum. They have an old soda shop there. And you can have a fresh Dr. Pepper float. That's cool to see. Keep moving down. I mean, Snake Farm.
That's right. Snake Farm.
Snake Farm.
Just south of San Marcos kind of thing.
Yeah, kind of out there.
Oh, I've been there a few times. It's awesome. And the gorilla in the cage? Oh, yeah.
I know. I didn't see the gorilla. I wasn't there for that one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The rotating.
Snake pit. It's like the rotating.
What do y'all do the rest
thing?
Of the day?
I know, right? Let's go to Snake Farm now. Who's got the song? Who's got the Snake Farm song?
Yeah. The Ray Wiley Hubbard.
Ray Wiley Hubbard.
Oh, it's good. Snake it's a Farm. Good song.
That's a good
just
song.
Just sounds nasty.
Snake Farm.
Awesome.
Pretty much. Yeah. So, I mean, that's what I would say. There's a couple great roadside attractions along the way. Of course, go to thedaytripper.com. We got a map of different things that you could hit. A lot of resources on thedaytripper.com. So,
And don't forget, stop at every single historical marker.
I'm still trying to find out how many historical markers there are in Texas.
Oh, dude, they're always adding more. It's going to change all the time. Oh,
I want to count. I want like
history is still happening.
Office
Richie.
Of history you know, still happening. Accounting or something. Texas accounting to come in and do that thing. Yeah.
Whoa.
That's right, folks. Hold everything.
All right, now it's time for another segment we're going to do. Of course, we love all things Texas, and that includes Texas music. Richie's the big musician on staff, so we thought we'd give him a chance to talk about some really cool Texas music, Texas artists that have had something to do with the Day Tripper. So take it away, Richie.
I'm only the biggest because I weigh the most. No, I'm just kidding.
You actually have talent. We don't.
Right. No. I don't know about that. That's for another episode. Right now, we're going to feature some great music, and specifically stuff we've featured on the show. There's some great music artists that we've had here. This is Dim the Aurora by Monahans. A garden. So we have a great opportunity to try some really great things on the show. And one of the opportunities we really had that I really wanted to take hold of when we started editing and making the show was not just the great things you see on Day Tripper, because the landscapes are incredible and what Chet does is really fun and the costumes are really good, but it's the other half of it is what you hear. And so we've got great storytelling and great writing, but that also comes down to the great music that you hear. And from the beginning, we knew we wanted a really dynamic soundtrack for the Day Tripper to take us from place to place and keep up that energy and really underline the kind of feel that we have in a really serene natural park or some really great culture and great shops. And so we had a really fun time making the South Austin episode, season two. The season finale for season two was South Austin. And to start that episode, we were going to travel down South Congress and really hit all those great shops and great food. And there's just an energy on South Congress that we wanted to make sure that we captured. So we captured great visuals, and then we wanted to make sure we had great songs. So I think Chet actually found this one. This is Monahans, a great band.
Oh, that's
take
awesome.
Their name from the there's dunes.
Yep,
there's
out dunes. In West Texas.
Right. Just
Monahans
called,
State Park.
Right, and so. A great name, and this is a really great track we found that has had great energy, and we're not the only ones who think so. I mean, they get great reviews from the Austin American Statesman. They've been called sophisticated, dreamy, driven, and balanced, and Texas Monthly loves them. You know, they say their tone is dark and unnerving, like a storm rolling in, and so that's the kind of stuff we really love to feature, and talking about them and promoting them is something that's really important to us because we get to champion what makes Texas great. And so this is only their second album. This was in 2009, so we're talking about a 5-year-old song. But you can still find monahans.net. They're still touring around town. They play here in Austin anyway. They're at the Red 7 and at the Parish. They play at the Mohawk Continental Club. They're in Denton all the time and in Austin. And so you can find their information at Monahans Band off their Facebook site, monahans.net. And so we want to make sure that people know about some of the great music that we find on the show that we get to use and make sure that other people know about them.
All right. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this as much as we did. That was pretty fun. Thank you guys for listening so much. And especially thank you to our sponsor for this, the Highland Lakes of Burnett County. You know, I love that sound effect.
You need a towel, Chet?
Yeah, I know. Try out. Wow. Who had the bucket? I didn't see that coming. You know, it's summertime. People want waterfront adventures, and the Highland Lakes has it right in the middle of all the Highland Lakes from Buchanan all the way down to Travis. You know, I've stayed in some places out there, and each one of them is so unique. Whether it's fun, relaxing for a family adventure, or a seclusion-seeking paradise, they've got all sorts of things from resorts to lodges, and all the information on that is at thehighlandlakes.org, thehighlandlakes.org.
And you know, they've got some amazing sunsets out there as well. We as a crew were out there a few weeks back, and we're playing Jenga there, overlooking the lake and having a beer. It was just on the rocks. Gorgeous. Yeah. Absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, there's a reason we've gotten to make so many episodes about that area. It's just so much to do out there. And if you want to be in the heart of it all, go to thehighlandlakes.org and book a cabin. Make it a weekend tripper. All right, guys. So, this was podcast number uno. Thank you so much for joining us. On our next one, we'll be talking about top 10 Texas swimming holes. How appropriate for summer is that, right?
Yeah. So we'll see y'all next time. Or actually, you'll hear us next time.
Yes, you will. Vaya con Dios, amigos.